Okay, and the sign is, oh, this is too difficult one. Good morning, I'd like to call the October 23rd, 2014 meeting to order. We have a roll call, please.
Governor Pat Quinn, Acting Secretary Erica Borgren, Chair Wolf.
Here.
Director Banks.
Here.
Director Darcy.
Here.
Director Dawson.
Here.
Director Gonzalez.
Here.
Director Peterson.
Here.
Director Reddick.
Here.
Director Sweeney.
Here.
Director Wisner.
Here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Appreciate everybody being here. I haven't been notified of anybody who's interested in public comment, so I assume there is no one here who wants to make a public comment. Is that correct? Okay, good. Well, then we'll just move right into my work. I wanted to ask for a motion for approval for the regular board meetings and the executive session meetings of September 25th. I want to apologize about the executive committee meetings. Christy and I had a misunderstanding. We've gotten two copies, a second copy, a corrected copy, but I think everybody should have had time to review those. May I hear a motion, please?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Okay, thank you very much. So we'll turn to board committee reports, the Finance Operations and Administration Committee next.
Thank you. The Finance Committee met last week, October 15th. Finance had two items for the committee. The committee approved the assignment of firms for refunding of a bond transaction. The refund as much as $292 million of a Series 2006 bonds. Estimated present value savings exceeding $20 million. We hope maybe for $25 million, as we heard earlier. The firms are selected from a previously approved pool of underwriters. The underwriting will be led by senior managing underwriters RBC Capital Markets, Cyber Bradford Shank, as well as co-senior managing underwriters Jeffries & Company, JP Morgan Securities, and BEW. Portion of the compensation is estimated to be around 31%. The committee also approved a 2015 tentative budget to be placed on the board's consent agenda. The tentative budget includes the largest annual investment in infrastructure in the tollway's history, maintains an affordable increase in the operating budget of 3.9%, and allows for the issuance of $800 million in bonds to help fund the capital program for the coming year. Mike Kelch is going to give the presentation he gave to the Finance Committee again, so if you have any questions, we can ask. Also want to add that there will be a public hearing on the budget Monday, November 10th, here at the Tollway offices, the headquarters at 6 o'clock, and also on Monday, November 17th, at the Tollway Oasis in Lake Forest at from 3 to 6 o'clock. Procurement presented one item, which was approved by the committee. This was a request for the purchase of roadway sweeping, pickup, and disposal services for 9 tollway maintenance sites. Shawna White gave a presentation and recommended entering into an IGA with the Alliance of Toll Interoperability, ATI, to test the possibility of using their new license plate database called the ATI Hub. Testing the new database is expected to take approximately 1 year, but results could provide a number of important benefits to the tollway system. I think the cost is around $300,000.
Yes, on the higher end, we get a ton of participation nationwide.
And the ATI basically counts about 40 different agencies throughout the country, and members and license plate information exchange with ATI would be limited to plate numbers and not include registered owners.
Correct. Anonymous.
And are you presenting again today? I wasn't clear on that.
Okay. I hadn't planned on it, but I'm open for questions.
Any questions we can ask about that? Engineering. In addition, the committee approved a one-year renewal of the state use contract with the Ada McKinley Community Services, a not-for-profit organization on the south side of Chicago that manages the fulfillment of our many transponder orders from new IPAS customers, as well as existing IPAS customers who are ordering additional replacement transponders. Engineering presented 9 items, which were reviewed and placed on today's consent agenda. One is a supplement for additional design services that represents an increased level of effort with respect to the design of additional retaining wall to avoid additional right-of-way acquisition and minimize utility impacts. It will also upgrade 18 mainline bridges from the originally assumed rehab for pool reconstruction. There's also a second supplement for an additional construction management services that requires additional staff to manage additional construction work performed under 3 contracts on the western section of I-90. An increased level of effort was necessary due to weather delays, construction schedule recovery efforts, and sequencing. And Paul, maybe you can speak to that later today. When you have any questions, you can answer about those 2 items there. There were 2 construction change orders and extra work orders. There was 1 change order, work order, to add a southbound right turn lane realignment with the center concrete median on Meacham Road. This work will be reimbursed by the Village of Schaumburg for our intergovernmental agreement. There was another change order, extra work,
Due to changes and conditions in the field, the original contract specified that Tollway would complete the agreement with NICOR, allowing them to access their work from adjacent NICOR right-of-way. However, the terms of this agreement could not be finalized in time to accommodate the work's schedule. There also are five releases of retainage. We reviewed, I believe, four of those five are going to be considered today for approval. One is going to be removed from the agenda. And the last two items pertain to land acquisition activities, which will be deferred to executive session today. Full board. Legal presented 12 items. We reviewed, the first one was an IGA with Riley Township. This agreement is a relatively standard bridge reconstruction arrangement with Riley Township related to the Getty Road and Anthony Road bridges over I-90. It establishes cooperative practices during construction and outlines maintenance responsibilities upon completion. The second IGA was with the County of DuPage in connection with approximately $38 million of modifications to I-290 as part of the Elgin O'Hare work. In order to leverage federal congestion mitigation air quality funds, it is necessary for the county as project sponsor to enter one agreement with the state of Illinois, which will retain ownership of a specific portion of the roadway being constructed. The IGA will allow the Tollway to determine respective responsibilities towards the project. The Tollway will act as the lead agency in constructing the project responsible for financing local matching 20%. Item 3 was IGA with the Village of Green Oaks. The IGA enables the annexation of a small tollway parcel near I-294 and Route 76 into Green Oaks municipal boundaries. The annexation is required for the village to establish a contiguous boundary necessary for it to create a TIF district. The agreement has been prepared in a manner that disallows any actual control of ownership to be asserted over the tollway parcel, including any development on the property without tollway approval. Number 4 is an addendum to the IGA with the University of Illinois. The IGA entered in 2013 called for the university to create a life cycle assessment tool to allow the Tollway to compare environmental impacts and measure the environmental efficiencies of its current construction projects. The addendum expands the scope of the project, allowing the university to consider specific pay items in its computer modules that will provide more precise outputs for the Tollway. The fifth IGA was with the University of South Dakota. This addendum will provide limited increase of $75,000 under the standard agreement. The University of South Dakota to complete study of the Heinz Emerald Dragonfly required as a condition of U.S. Army Corps of Engineers permit to construct the Veterans Memorial Tollway as an associated bridge. The sixth IGA was for Alliance of Toll Interoperability with Shauna White, addressed and presented on. The ATI is an intergovernmental entity comprising over 40 agencies that was created to promote and implement toll interoperability for the benefit of its member agencies. Item 7, IGA with Secretary of State's office. Tollway has had an IGA with the SOS for many years. Pursuant to that, provides driver and vehicle information as well as other services necessary for the tollway's violations and enforcement systems. The 8th IGA was with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. Under an existing IGA, Wisconsin Department of Transportation agreed to relocate a DMS sign near the Wisconsin border along I-294. The final cost relocation was $70,000 above the previously approved cost. Item number 9, a general utility agreement with Level 3 Communications has installed communication cables on or near the tollway right away, which must be relocated, protected, or otherwise modified as a result of tollway improvements. Item 10 and 11, there was a workers' comp compensation settlement and a personal injury litigation settlement that were discussed in exec during the Finance Committee. If we need to, if there's any further questions, we can go into exec and bring those two items in to discuss any further detail. The last item from legal was bond counsel assignments. In connection with the tollway's anticipated next bond refunding transaction and consistent with the board's practice of appointing law firms from its previously approved pool of firms on a rotating basis, the general counsel recommended Kat Mution Roseman, LLP as bond counsel, Shiv Harden, LLP as an issuer counsel, and the tollway recommended that underwriters that they retain both firms in Pinelli, which is also a certified way of home. I think there was a lot covered in that meeting and a lot of dialogue and questions. And I know trying to be as brief as I can, but we did cover it in great detail, but more questions can be asked too. We go forward.
Great. Director Peterson, in addition to reporting well and being a chair, is also getting trained to be, if he ever decides not to be a banker anymore, an auctioneer.
Keep their attention, you know. That's what
I didn't see anybody bidding on any of these items. Just to close off, I had five quick items I wanted to mention. First, there's an interesting article for those of you who might not have seen it in the Wall Street Journal this morning about tollway bonds and people backing bonds to entities, neither of which have a stronger rating as we have, or out of the market and seem to be doing pretty well. So it looks as if this is a really good time for us to be out there, and there's confidence, purchasing confidence again in public bonds, but particularly in tollway. So that was good to see. The second is, I just wanted to mention again and underscore with this 8S McKinley renewal that I frequently get comments about the Lighthouse and 8S McKinley being part of the tollway family, and I just wanted to compliment Christy and her team on making sure that we actually can diversify and use some of these state use providers to do our work. The third thing is I just want to remind the directors about the ribbon cuttings we have. I gather Director Dotson is going to be out in Rockford area and the 294-57 ribbon cutting on Saturday. I think the time has finally been finalized.
I think we're still working on the announcements.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
Okay, good. And then I just wanted to also comment on the removal of item 5. I think we sometimes take for granted the amount of material that has to be put together for us to be able to take action. There's just a lot of things that go into putting the committee work together and the board work together. I want to make sure that everybody, particularly engineering in this case, knows that to take an item off is great because what it means is that you're not being driven by the schedule of the board or the committee and you're actually doing the work on the ground with the contractors to make sure you've got the product you want before you bring it to us. So to me, I just wanted to make sure that everybody is aware that this is it's not a problem when something's taken off the agenda. Of course, we always like to have things, you know, as you need them done, but that is excellent from our perspective because you're getting the work done. And also the responses that are coming out frequently in emails to the directors in response to questions that we've asked both at the committee and at the board level. And we really appreciate the rapid turnaround and the good answers that we're getting on that. Again, sometimes I think we take these things for granted, but it really shows how well this operation is working. And then finally, in one of those responses, there was a suggestion that there might have to be a special meeting later this year or early next year in order to accommodate the workload that's going to happen in the next construction season. So just want to encourage everybody to try to be flexible with his or her schedule so we can get that done because we don't want to get all of those things processed in time to be able to start with the spring construction season. So thank you. And thank you to Director Peterson and his committee for their work. So let's turn to Krista's report.
Great, thank you. Well, my report is really a lot of introductions and different presentations. So I'd like to start by introducing Mike Kelch, who is going to go over a presentation on the budget. As you know, we gave this presentation at the FAO committee, but it's obviously one of the very important things that our board does annually. So he is going to go over the 2015 tentative budget. Just as a reminder of the time frame, and I know Mike will cover this in his presentation, we are required to approve a tentative budget in October of every year. Then we go out and have opportunity for public comment in November, which we hope everybody will take advantage of. And then in December, we'll come back to the board and ask for approval of a final budget for the upcoming year. Highlights, of course, will be that while this year was the biggest year thus far in capital spending, next year will be even bigger. So we'll go over a little bit what that will mean for the Illinois Tollway. But we dedicate the vast majority of our revenues to support our infrastructure. 70%, over 70% of our revenues ultimately go to supporting our infrastructure, which of course we think is very important to maintaining not only a good system, but doing the right thing by our customers who pay the tolls in order to drive on our great roads. So Mike, please go ahead. You can just breeze past those parts of the presentation.
Good morning, everyone. Hopefully, everyone's received the book. Nice blue color. As Christy mentioned, in October, under covenants that we have with our bondholders, we're required to request the board approval of a tentative budget. That tentative budget needs to be balanced in the sense that the revenues that are available after you pay operating expenses are sufficient to maintain debt service. Actually, they need to have coverage, a minimum coverage of 1.3 times. You all know our coverage chart is 2 times, but a minimum of coverage of 1.3 times. So, as Christy mentioned, October is the end of the budget presentation, November, public review and comment. We'll have an opportunity to bring that public comment back to the board. At the November meeting, we can make any necessary adjustments or appropriate changes that are deemed important to do. And then in December, we hope to seek an action and receive approval of the final budget for 2015. The highlights, schools have been meeting or exceeding projections for most of this year. If you recall, earlier in the year, we had severe winter conditions and were lagging projections in January and February, but since early in the year, commercial vehicle traffic in particular has rebounded, passenger vehicle traffic as well, so we're continuing to meet or exceed projections. Maintenance and operating budget in our long-range financial plan that was approved as part of the Move Illinois program back in 2011, we targeted 4% or less growth in maintenance and operation spending. Within that plan, and I think you'll see that this budget accomplishes that about 3.9%. And finally, also Christy mentioned, again, this year, 2015, the largest amount committed for infrastructure improvements in COVID system. And the fourth for Move Illinois. So revenues are growing. In 2014, based upon the analysis that our traffic engineer, C.B.M. Smith, has completed, we're increasing the revenue projection for toll revenue and aging recovery, and total revenue by about $7 million in 2014. In 2015, revenues continue to grow. You can see increases from $1,170,000,000. Of course, it's readily apparent that total revenue and evasion recovery makes up 99% of our revenue. And of course, 14 and 15 reflect the toll rates that have been approved by the board. With respect to the allocation of that revenue, basically under the indenture, the kind of flow of funds, the allocation of revenue that's required is first you need to fund maintenance and operations, and the other system that's operating, the rolls that are collected and so forth. After paying for operations costs, we have an obligation to set aside funds to pay off bondholders, the funds that were previously issued for investment in infrastructure. And then finally, there's revenue that we plan to receive that we can allocate directly toward the capital program. It's important to note here that more than 70% of all the revenue that COLA collects is supports infrastructure, either in the form of direct resources available for the capital project or for retiring that was previously issued to support projects. One thing that we're going to speak about as well, this recommendation for 2015 also includes a recommendation that we make a modest change to the 2014 budget. And again, recall earlier this year, we have a polar vortex, a significant number of winter storm events, severe weather. We knew there were costs associated with that. We estimate that about approximately $8 million of additional costs were incurred as a result of the extreme conditions incurred earlier this year. All year long, we've been attempting to identify resources internal to the agency that we could redirect to help fund those costs, particularly as we prepare for the winter months. We were able to identify about $4.5 million in internal transfers that we are in the process of making. Engineering, IT, toll ops, and all other departments, you can see the distribution there. In terms of the costs, not surprisingly, roadway materials, about $4.5 million, most of that is salt. Replacement parts for plows and so forth. Fuel costs, when you're out plowing the roadway, you're going to have additional fuel costs, and finally, personnel costs. So our recommendation in this 2015 budget presentation is to increase the 2014 budget by $3.5 million to accommodate those additional costs that were incurred earlier in the year. In 2015,
the operating budget. Recommendation is that it increase 3.9%, again within the 4% target that we had established earlier. It's a combination of health care and retirement costs, increases in maintenance fees for our expanding fiber optic network and our intelligent transportation systems, workers' compensation expenses, credit card fees increase because revenues increase. There's going to be more replenishments, not a change because of any rates associated with credit card fees. And finally, increased budget for fuel. We're not expecting fuel prices to be higher, but we know we under-budgeted fuel. We found this year that we under-budgeted fuel relative to what we needed last winter, so we're increasing that budget to make sure that doesn't happen again. So with respect to some of the individual line items, and I understand this is hard to see, but it really, as you can see, about $2.3 million for Social Security and retirement, a modest increase in salary and wages of about 1.2%, workers' compensation increases in the all other insurance line, bank charges, those are the credit card fees, about $2.5 million, and then operational materials and supplies were actually reduced from this year's budget, but that does reflect the supplemental funding that we're asking for 2014.
I'm sorry, Mike, can you, so the 9.5 includes that?
The 9.5 includes the additional funding that we're requesting or recommending. This budget will keep headcount flat again. Basically, five successive years where headcount has remained at right around 1,595. And so we do have some modest redeployment of personnel to add some additional staff in engineering and one in finance. To help administer the largest capital program in the total system. But we're going to accommodate that by eliminating some vacancies. With respect to debt service, at the end of this fiscal year, at the end of 2014, the tollway will have debt outstanding of just over $5 billion. We expect to issue $800 million in new debt. Cost of servicing that debt is $362 million. Most of its interest, $268. We will be paying off bonds that we previously issued, about $100 million, $103 million. Our debt service coverage will continue to be above the 2x target. We're estimating 2.4x in both 14 and 15. And with that, I'd like to ask Kathy Williams to assist me in the
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
So as Mike and Christy mentioned, we're moving into the fourth year of the Move Illinois program. Again, an even larger commitment this year, $1.6 billion for 2015. This slide is a summary of our capital program for both Move Illinois and CRP. And as you can see, our 2014 budget was $1.4 billion. Our estimated expenditures are coming in at about $1.2 billion. And again, our 2015 budget request is $1.6 billion, representing an increase of $439 million over what we estimate our expenditures to be for 2014. Also, you can see that existing system needs represents $1.2 billion of that, of the $1.6 billion budget, as well as, and that's obviously the work to be done on the Jane Addams, as well as system-wide improvements. $346 million is on system expansion, which, again, is the Elgin O'Hare project. And then an additional $65 million is focused on other capital projects representing support for the ongoing operations of the tollway, such as fleet, equipment, and program support. So these next few slides highlight some of the key capital projects that make up the budget for 2015. $840 million is expected to be spent on the Jane Addams Memorial. This is to go towards rebuilding and widening of the outside lanes on the eastern segment, as well as ongoing construction of several crossroad bridges, interchanges, and ramps, as well as the water main relocation work to be done. The Elgin O'Hare Western Access Project, which is Illinois Route 390, again, remaining construction and widening on the existing portion of Illinois Route 390, as well as final design for the extension and construction along the extension, including several interchange improvements and bridge construction work. System-wide projects, again, this is $241 million. This is our commitment to maintaining the integrity of our system. It represents bridge, pavement, and interchange improvements system-wide. Also, it includes toll collection and IT improvements. The Reagan Memorial, there's $108 million budgeted for resurfacing work between Illinois Route 251 and U.S. Route 30. The Tri-State I-294, I-57 interchange is about $20 million remaining. As you know, this project is expected, first phase of this project is expected to be completed this year. So there's some additional project closeout work to be done, as well as landscaping and some payments for utility work. The Tri-State Tollway, this is about $19 million budgeted for master plan development from the 95th Street to Balmoral Avenue, as well as design for the mile-long bridges. And then the budget also includes $6 million for planning studies to continue studies for the Illinois Route 53-120 project, as well as other emerging projects. So the next few slides highlight how our budget is aligned with the tollways' five priorities. As the departments prepare their budgets, they consider these priorities. And I just want to highlight a few of the key items that demonstrate this alignment. So furthering transparency and accountability, this represents there's funding in the budget to support the development of an ERP system for efficiency and help manage our functions more effectively. It also includes an investment in cameras, the cameras that are, is replacing cameras that are at the end of their life cycle with digital high-resolution cameras to help support the accuracy of the toll violations. Also, the budget is aligned with the priority of enhancing customer service and public safety, provides additional capacity for the IPAS Customer Service Center, as well as a sufficient supply of winter-related materials, and it also provides full complement of the Illinois State Police, District 15, for assignments in our construction zones. Promoting economic growth, again, we spoke to that with the $1.6 billion committed to support congestion relief and improve regional mobility. Increasing collaboration, this represents, budget includes funding for transit opportunities, for ongoing collaboration with PACE and the RTA, including the first park and ride facilities on the tollways, the tollway system. And lastly, increasing collaboration includes support for workforce development and technical assistance programs. This helps strengthen our capacity for underutilized groups that want to do business with the tollway. And lastly, the budget includes funding aligned with fostering environmental and responsibility and increasing E85 fuel usage per our governor's executive order number 11. And it also includes ongoing research programs to study environmental and roadway safety initiatives. So I'll turn it back over to Mike to close. And
so in summary, the 2015 tentative budget is consistent with our long-range plan. It will be the fourth year of the Move Illinois program, another record investment in infrastructure. Revenues will increase about 14.5%, reflect the toll rate schedule that was previously approved, including the commercial vehicle toll increase that was approved back in 2008. We will hold operating costs in this budget to an increase of 3.9%. And, of course, we're going to continue to move forward to issue debt as part of the Move Illinois plan to help fund that record infrastructure investment. I'd like to take any questions.
Mike, what's your, I'm just curious, your process for public input as you do in November? What process do you use to collect that feedback?
Well, we have a public hearing scheduled in this building. I don't know if I have to have the specific date on November 10th at 6 o'clock in this building. We are also planning to have an open house, and that's at one of the
Lake Forest Oasis,
right?
We rotate those around, so every year it's at a different oasis.
We then,
and sometimes if you come here, there are M&Ms during.
Comment on
it. We also offer an opportunity for online comments, so people don't. Of course, there are always droves of people who want to come and talk to us about our budget. But for those who just can't make it, have other pressing engagements, they're allowed to. You know, they can send in their comments online.
The book will be posted online. There will be a fascinating video. Skip over the first part and go to Kathy, and you'll enjoy it much more.
And then one other question, I guess this is for staff. I mean, as we increase our investment in the infrastructure, and I guess our headcount remains flat, we feel confident that we can continue to do the work.
I do. I mean, we've tried to strike a balance between having the right people on staff and, you know, also the support that we get from consultants for these years where we spike. Right, so, but I do think that we have the right balance of people on staff. And of course, if something changes and we find that we need more, we'll certainly come back and let you know. I can say that everybody at the agency and the resources here are definitely humming at full speed when it comes to the capital program. I mean, from the people in engineering who we fully expect to be engaged, but also procurement and finance and communications and, you know, really everybody here is engaged in making sure the capital program is successful. So if we need more, we'll certainly come back and let you know.
I would just like to reinforce and compliment the fact that we're really driven by two big forces here, both of which were mentioned, the principles and the commitment that we've made to our five mission goals, and then also the four-year plan. So while there's a lot of detail in the budget book, it really does all feed up into the four-year plan and then to the five goals that we have within our mission statement. And I appreciate the fact that when doing the budget preparation, those are really the drivers in terms of what people submit for their departments and then how the decisions are made to prioritize. Thank you.
If I could just say one thing, thank Kathy Williams, Kathy Williams and our budget managers, Kent Vedra and Sam Samra, they do a lot of work on this, them and their staff. The departments, it's a busy time for everybody, and we bug them for a lot of information. So we appreciate the cooperation that went into preparing this.
And I guess I should have mentioned the third driver here is the indenture. So we really are within the constraints of those three big things. And to put together this budget and this level of detail with that is important. Thank you. We'll see everybody at the budget hearings, or you can online at any time.
Yes. Thank you. So I think Mike probably should have just stayed up there because he's going to be giving the next presentation, which there have been some questions asked about at previous meetings about our debt collection efforts. As you know, through violation enforcement, collection agency work, and administrative judgments, we go after debt that's owed to the tollway from people who missed tolls. 98% of our customers pay their fair share. They pay on time, and you know, in order really to protect their interests as a user fee system, we feel it's very important to do everything we can to collect what's owed to us. So Mike's going to give an update on our debt collection efforts, and I think you'll see that we are really trying to do everything that we can to pursue the monies that we are owed.
In the budget, 99% of the tollway's revenue comes from toll revenue and evasion recovery. And evasion recovery is an important effort in terms of encouraging everyone to pay and to collect on amounts that we don't collect at the time of the transaction. And in our budget, in 2014. We have about $50 million in aggregate that comes through that evasion recovery process. We are a user fee system and depend upon tolls to operate. We don't receive state and federal funding for operation, so this is very important. So how do we pursue that debt? Make sure that we collect on all of the revenue that we have an opportunity to. Shauna and her business systems group runs a violations enforcement system. As you know, there's a series of notices that are sent out to those that don't pay. If they accumulate three or more toll violations over a two-year period, that we pursue through that evasion recovery process. If we're unsuccessful through that process, we also employ collection agencies. These collection agencies also have taken an opportunity to issue a series of notices. They make phone calls. They offer payment plan options. And ultimately, if that's not successful, we also have the tool or the opportunity to seek administrative adjustments through the filing of lawsuits. I think you've probably seen this slide previously when Shauna has discussed our violation enforcement system. And it typically takes to get all the way through that process and to litigation, if we were to file administrative judgments, more than a year, between 9 months and 2 years, to reach the point where we could file a violation notice in court. One of the things that's important to recognize as we go through this process is how difficult it is to collect some of these amounts. Commercial debt collectability after 1 year is about 25%. Remember, we don't even get to the point of being able to file a lawsuit at the earliest until after about a year, and that declines to about 9 to 10% after 2 years. The majority of our debt is more than 2 years old. In fact, it's about 90% of the placements with our collection agencies are more than a year old. And, of course, it's difficult to... lawsuits can be difficult because often, or on many occasions, companies may have been dissolved or lack the assets that we need to recover those amounts. In aggregate, we mentioned earlier total evasion recovery in 2014 is estimated to be $50 million. About two-thirds of that, or about $33 million, comes through the kind of standard violation enforcement system process that the business systems group administers. About $17 million of those collections comes through the effort of the collection agencies. Some of it in the form of, as we mentioned, calls, letters, and finally, as a last resort, administrative judgments, and we've collected just under $1 million through the administrative judgment process. So currently, we have more than $400 million in tolls and initial fines that are placed with the collection agencies that they are pursuing as of September. The question was asked at an earlier meeting, how are they doing? Between 2011 and 2014, the collection agencies generated $59 million, about $15 to $17 million per year. We've paid about $8.75 million in fees. So you can see we've netted through their efforts more than $50 million during that time period. It's an important contribution. We are making progress on administrative judgments as well. Of the lawsuits that have been filed, about 24% have either been settled in full or settled or paid in full. So about a fourth. Nearly 8% of the lawsuits have been paid in full. So a third of those that we've reached resolution on have been paid in full. We're filing approximately 50 additional judgments this month. That will bring the total to more than 400. And those judgments or lawsuits are seeking $11 million from commercial accounts. And then moving forward, we want to continue to work with the collection agencies to coordinate these placements and file additional administrative judgments throughout 2015, and take every opportunity to pursue scoff laws to make sure that they pay their fair share.
Can you, I'm sorry, you may have mentioned this, and I saw in terms of collectability, you separate out the commercial, but in terms of the, and if you don't know this, someday we can find it out, how much of the original debt that goes into this debt collection process is commercial versus individual, and then how it was, does the collection break down? Are we more successful with an individual, or are we more successful with a commercial?
I
should have thought about this earlier.
We do. Collection agencies have been successful in collecting about 18% of the initial fines and tolls.
I don't know how that breaks out between commercial and passenger vehicle, but we'd be happy to do so.
Thank you. It'd just be interesting to see our cost-benefit analysis of going after commercial versus going after passenger.
And that 18% number, we do have escalated fines that they can file, but often those are settled or dismissed.
Right. Other questions?